Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And I have a guest in the studio with me today. We're going to be talking about some exciting new things happening in the state. Dr. Todd O'Hara, welcome.
Hi. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. So you're here for WhaleFest, primarily.
Yes.
So what do you have going on here in WhaleFest?
Well, WhaleFest encompasses a lot of things that I'll be involved with. For one, WhaleFest itself and scientists in the schools, which is a really exciting program where local scientists and scientists outside the Sitka community come and participate in activities in the schools. Some are hands-on, some are very, we call experiential, that they give students experience to learn. And so it's very exciting to be here. Part of that's a large program that the Sitka Sound Science Center helps with, and the school's very open to it. So we enjoy coming here when we can.
Well, it's certainly become a big event here in town. We had Don Cinetti here in the studio on Monday.
Great. Don's a good friend.
Right, and he's been here 16 years, he said. So yes. How many times have you been here down to Sitka, do you think?
Oh, five, six, seven times, probably.
Super. So you're here as a participant, but you also talked about some hands-on demonstrations. Yes. So what do you have planned for that?
Some organizers have put together a necropsy demonstration that will be led by Michael Moore and Dylan from the pathology group in Anchorage. They're going to be examining some marine mammals, and I'll be there to help and discuss marine mammal anatomy and physiology and how it's linked with ocean health. People in Sitka are quite aware of human health is directly related to ocean health, and so it's part of our ecological perspective on what we can learn from animals.
So you're doing this for students. The necropsy is at Mount Edgecombe High School, correct?
Correct, yes. And there'll be a demonstration necropsy. The students participate as much as we can allow.
Well, and how willing are they to do this? What's the students' reactions typically to something like this?
Well, Michael Moore will be leading it this time. And in the past, when I've led it, I've had to refer to things like splash zones. No, you can't eat that. so they are very engaged and very attentive. And I think the teachers enjoy it because you're using that animal to teach. You're using it in a way that is different from sitting in a seat and just listening to someone. You're actually interacting with another organism and learning about it and relating it to your environment you live in.
So where do these specimens come from that you'll be working with?
Oh, most of them come from rehabilitation centers or from stranding networks, if we're dealing with marine mammals, and they're donated for educational purposes, but at the same time, we're collecting data from them to help the stranding networks figure out what might be causing the death of the animals. So it's a win-win, you might say, where the stranding network gets us to work them up, and then we use them to interact with the students.
So stranding network is a term I'm not very familiar with. What could you talk a little bit more about that?
The United States has a stranding network that encompasses all the coasts of the U.S. and our territories. And in some places, it's very intensive. For example, in Central California, you have a center with hundreds of volunteers and dozens of paid staff who all they do is take in live and dead stranded marine mammals and learn about what's going on in the oceans, the ocean and around Central California. And that one's called the Marine Mammal Center. And they've donated some of the specimens. And then here in Alaska, there's a stranding network as well. But since we're such a large and not heavily populated state, we don't have the kind of coverage they do, for example, in California along their coast. But we also have a stranding network here that responds to whales hit by boats and then animals found beach gassed, for example.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Education for me, and I hope for our listeners as well. So speaking of education, you've also got a career talk. You'll be at University of Alaska Southeast coming up later this week.
Right.
And what's your focus for that talk?
The focus of that talk is going to be on becoming a veterinarian or working in veterinary medicine in other ways. We've started a new program in Alaska that will actually allow Alaska residents to get into a veterinary medical program, and it's a joint program with Colorado State University. We have a new Department of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Alaska Fairbanks that was formed a few years ago, but on December of last year, the Chancellor at University of Alaska Fairbanks and the President of Colorado State University signed a memorandum of agreement where we would have a what we call a 2+2 program, where students can apply to Colorado State University and get into vet school, but they can spend their first 2 years of vet school in Fairbanks.
So the kids actually apply to Colorado State rather than apply to Fairbanks? Is that how that works?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
We are making sure that the students get a Colorado State University Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, or DVM, because that is a very good DVM to get. We don't need to create another DVM program. What we are trying to do is develop a pipeline for Alaska residents to have a fair and equitable way to get into vet school that is also cost-effective. We have a deal with Colorado State University that while they're in Fairbanks, they will pay in-state tuition or sponsored tuition, saving a family anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 in tuition alone.
So tell me why Colorado State as opposed to other schools. There must be many other programs, maybe not. How many other programs are there around in the country, would you say?
There's a couple dozen vet schools in North America, and it was serendipity. We were asked by the Board of Regents at the University of Alaska and our Chancellor, Brian Rogers, at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to look into this. Immediately, we determined a teaching hospital was way too expensive, tens of millions of dollars. Mm. And so we threw out the idea of a four-year program, which is more typical of vet schools. So we were discussing what they call the 2+2, and our attending veterinarian at UAF happened to be talking to the dean at Colorado State University about something totally unrelated. And Dr. John Blake mentioned this to Lance Perryman, the dean down there. And it all started when Dr. Perryman, the former dean, said, would you consider a 2+2 with us? Hmm. And we've never looked back. We did talk to University of Calgary, our chancellor did. They were also interested. It was a very popular idea. And Colorado State has done everything they can to help us develop this program. They're investing in it. Hmm. And so it's very exciting. And for us, it was, they have some of the best funding for biomedical research in the nation as far as a vet school goes. And more importantly for our students is the teaching hospital there excels in both large animal and small animal and has a very high caseload. So when our students go down there, they will get a very good clinical experience. And that's what we're after.
Mm-hmm. So you're accepting your very first cohort of students, is that correct? Or going through applications now?
Applications are being reviewed now. I'm not participating in that because I'm the pre-vet advisor, and I kind of have an emotional attachment to many of the students in Alaska. And so I have to stay out of that process because I'd be advocating for them. Mm-hmm. But yes, we have two people from Alaska who are on the admissions committee for Alaska applicants who would be trying to fill 10 seats. We hope to have five or more Alaska residents fill those 10 seats, and any seats that can't be filled by Alaska residents would be filled by a Colorado resident or a resident of another state. So we will have 10 seats filled per year, 20 students in the program.
Wow. Do you have a feel for how many applicants there will be for the program, or how many applicants are they going through
exactly.
Right now? You know exactly. I'm talking to the right guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. We had 92 applications for 10 positions.
Very competitive.
And approximately 20 were Alaska residents.
Hmm.
We're thrilled.
That's fantastic. So these kids, students, and I don't know, maybe they're all, are there any traditional students or are these, I'm sorry, traditional students, or are there some older folks that are applying for this as well?
I can't talk about that yet.
You can't talk about that yet.
Okay. Sorry, but let me tell you that it is diverse. And
okay.
there's students from around here who have applied. There are students who are from Anchorage, mm-hmm. Fairbanks. So we've had a nice coverage of the state.
Great. And these are all people who will be finishing their four-year pre-med programs, either have finished or soon will be finished.
That's correct. It usually takes about 4 years to get all the prerequisites and to be competitive. The thing about most vet schools, you do not need your bachelor's degree. You just need to meet the requirements of the courses, getting the appropriate experience working with animals, and you must be working with a veterinarian in some way to show that you have an idea of what you're getting into.
Mm, interesting, interesting.
Yeah, it's very competitive.
Well, it sounds like a great program. I really want to thank you for coming in. We've been speaking with Dr. Todd O'Hara. He's here from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Veterinary Program. Here for Whale Fest, here to do some get your hands dirty.
Yes.
Work with some students here in town, here to speak at the University of Alaska Southeast as well later this week.
Correct.
And you'll also be on the Whale Fest cruise.
Yes, I'll be around town until Sunday morning when I leave at 6 a.m. And if anybody would like more information, I'll be leaving brochures around town. And I should be easy to find in Sitka, I think.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure to have you today.
I appreciate it.
Time is 28 minutes after 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.